You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, it's not often that a name change is the biggest news to come out of a camp, but your club managed that unusual feat this week with the change from B.J. Upton to Melvin Upton Jr. Not actually literally a legal name change, just what he's going by. Is there anything more to this than just it was time? It just seems like the timing is interesting, and he's kind of an interesting guy. Where does this come from?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. If he had hit 250, 260 with, you know, 20-plus homers over the last 2 years, we'd still be calling him B.J. Upton. And in all honesty, it doesn't seem like everyone around the Braves camp, the coaches and the players have been around him forever. There's still a lot of people referring to him as B.J., and maybe that's just the natural thing, and it'll take some time. I thought Johnny Gomes, who has known him better than or longer than any of us here, you know, they played together here at the same stadium at the Braves train back in 2003 with the Orlando Rays. He says, so we used to call him Melvin just to get underneath his skin. You know, that was used to be a name that bothered him. So, you know, Melvin can say that this is the name that, you know, it's just something that he wanted to do to honor his father and stuff. But I think we all know deep down this is just one of those ways, maybe from a mental perspective, to say, look, it's a fresh new start, try and turn the page, and separate himself from the frustration that he's experienced during his first 2 years in Atlanta. And, you know, whatever it takes, you know, I'm not saying this is going to do the trick, but if that's what he wants to do, go ahead and see if it works.
Tony La Russa used to say you can always do something, but maybe taking it to an extreme extent, but you can always do something.
You
had another piece of news here recently, a guy that if this team is going to contend, is going to be an important part of it, Nick Markakis. There have been some questions about how ready he would be. Sounds like, as of now, the news is good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came to camp today. This is, you know, he came to camp Wednesday and basically said, you know, he's been cleared for all activities. Now, with that being said, he has not been able to run, do a lot of different things. It's going to take him, you know, some time to get his conditioning back to normal. And they'll ease him into things. I don't expect to see him during the first week of the Grapefruit League season and maybe the early portion of the second week. But, you know, as you know, I mean, spring training, the length of it is for pitchers. If he gets his 30-plus at-bats, which he can do over span of a couple of weeks, 40 at-bats, whatever it is, you know, he could be ready for opening day. Now, what he said this morning was, look, I'm not going to push it. I've had injuries in the past. I'm not going to try to put a definite timetable on this. We're just going to ease back into things. Freddy Gonzalez said that he expects him to be in the opening day lineup, you know, after easing into things here in spring training. So, you know, for now, things look like he will be ready and everything is on schedule. But at the same time, I think the next couple weeks, how he starts to feel once he gets into some of these more aggressive activities, we'll be able to tell exactly where he's going to be on April 6th there in Miami.
Even if he is ready, is there any question as to how much he'll be able to go early? In other words, is there some likelihood that he could be on the opening day roster but still need maintenance days, not be a full everyday guy early in the year? I mean, the stuff he's dealing with is not a typical sore ankle or something. It's a challenging deal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there because it's I don't think anyone can tell you definitely exactly where he's going to be here in 6 weeks when the season begins. They are all hoping that he's full go. They'll continue to say that. But I think if we spoke 2 weeks from now, I may be able to tell you something a little bit different, and especially a month from now, you know, maybe 2 weeks before the regular season, we'll really have a good feel for where he might stand. But, you know, if he is limited in some ways, you know, let's just say, you know, something where you know, it feels better for him to, you know, play one day and take a day off, play 2 days, take 1 day off. They do have some they have some guys that could go over there and play right field. That Johnny Gomes could go play right field. You know, the attitude of the organization, where, you know, the reason they signed him is they see a guy that can get a majority of his bats against left-handed pitchers. Freddy Gonzalez continues to say it will not necessarily be a strict platoon in left field. If Gomes needed to go over there and play right, you know, on some days, they could do that. They've got Eric Young, Jr., who, non-roster invitee, seems like a good fit there to get him a lot of at-bats in left field, primarily because of his speed. He's joining a club that really doesn't have a legitimate leadoff hitter. He's a guy that I can see getting most of the playing time there in left field, although, you know, Freddie continues to say that it won't necessarily be a strict platoon. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, Matthew, you and I have been at this for about the same length of time. I've never been, and I, you know, the kind of successful clubs you were with the Cardinals there, I don't think you've probably ever been at camp where there are so many different pieces to this puzzle and how it could fit. You know, in terms of not only just the final roster spots, but the lineup. It's certainly going to be one of the more intriguing and entertaining spring training that I've, you know, covered, because there's just so many different stories and storylines that can develop. And you know, everything in the baseball world, yesterday always affects the current day in some way. But truly, throughout this camp, every twist and turn is going to affect so many different pieces of this club.
That seems particularly true in the pitching staff, and maybe doubly in the bullpen, where, as we talked about, they brought in a whole ton of arms and kind of sort them out, which is often a real good way to build a bullpen. Nobody's pitching a game yet. Everybody looks good. You know, don't fall in love too early in spring training. But with that said, anybody popping the mid or looking especially healthy or kind of catching eyes through these first couple of throws?
I think the most encouraging thing, like you said, you really can't be overwhelmed or get too excited about anything you see or hear, but Freddy Gonzalez, you know, saying that it looked like Jim Johnson had his sinker back the other day during a side session. That's the one pitch he relied on during his successful days there in Baltimore, and it's a pitch that deserted him last year. He seemed to lack confidence, not only because he wasn't comfortable in the new environments he was in with Oakland and Detroit. That pitch somewhat deserted him. Scouts said that he just wasn't throwing it with the same conviction. He's leaving it up in the zone. A flat sinker is nothing more than a BP fastball at the end of the day. So, you know, that was encouraging to hear that. Jason really seems to be healthy. If those two guys can work to, you know, get bounced back this year, along with Jose Varechet, you're right. This has the potential to be a pretty good bullpen. You know, just having three guys that, as recently as 2013, each of them had 20 saves that particular season. You know, have those three guys setting up for Craig Kimbrell, that's the foundation for a pretty good 10. And like you said, the way you build a good pitching staff is you basically throw a lot of arms out here in spring training, see what works, because guys are going to get hurt. Some guys are going to disappoint. But if you have enough options, you know, you're going to be able to find the 12 guys that you want to head into the regular season with. And not only that, you're going to head into the season with 12 guys knowing that three or four of the guys that you sent down in the farm are going to be up at some point that you're, you know, asked to play a somewhat influential role.
And then sort of the same question for the guys in the mix for the starting rotation. Anybody either caught your eye or maybe more importantly caught the eyes of people you've talked to from these first few days?
You know, I think Mike Minor was a big question mark heading into spring training. And I was, you're hearing from different people. Some people saying, I really don't know if he's even going to be full go. Mike kept telling us, hey, look, I'm fine. And I think that has probably been the most encouraging thing, is that now the team is saying, look, it looks like he's full go. The shoulder issues that he dealt with throughout last year, while that provided some concern to the club going into the winter, not knowing exactly where he would be here the second, third week of February, I think he's answered you know, all the questions in the manner that they wanted him to so far. Now you just hope that once he gets into more of a regular schedule of, you know, pitching once or starting once every 5 days, throwing aside sessions, that shoulders does stay strong, because, you know, you put him in that mix with Shelby Miller, Julio Teheran, Alex Wood, it has the makings to be a pretty solid rotation. The fifth spot's going to be very interesting. I've been saying that Eric Stoltz and Mike Fultonevich are the top candidates. As things go along here, early days of camp, you've got to keep Juanny Rodriguez in that mix, because he, you know, we all know what he's done throughout his career. The question is, can he stay healthy? Time will tell. But if it gets down to Fultonevich, Stoltz, Rodriguez, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much John Hart, what he said yesterday or earlier this week, he said, if it's a close roster battle, we may go with the youth, you know, the player that's going to be around this club longer. I'm not completely sure that that's the case with Fultonevich, because I think he really could use some more time in the minors developing. So if you're asking me who I think are truly the top two candidates, I think it's probably Stoltz and Wandy right now, just because of the more I start talking to guys, the more I get the sense that, Fultonevich, it wouldn't hurt him to get a little more time. There has been some talk that maybe he and Benuelos go to the bullpen to start the year. I just don't think that really benefits them either. Here's two guys, if you see them as long-term starters, I really don't think this they're the stage of their careers where it benefits you to have them compiling service time and just being a long guy in the pen. I'd rather see both of them at Equinette, just working on proving whether they deserve a shot to get to Atlanta to be a starter.
All right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.